steps 6 and 7, which are, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. So Tom, ready to hear what you have to say.
Hi, everybody. Who am I looking at? Anybody I know? I'm Tom Hoffman. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Tom.
If I live till July 5th, I will celebrate 47 years of continuous sobriety. Don't I look too young for that?
Yeah,
I do. Don't know how the hell I made it this far. But this has really been a chore, Kevin. Don't know if I'm sorry I said yes or no. Gosh. My activity has been rather mellow, if that's a word to use. And digging into these steps is a chore. I have a tendency to veer off to a lead of some type and tell you all these other issues that don't relate to the steps. And it's a hard thing to keep in focus. I am married to my beautiful wife, Carol. In January, we'll have 60 years of marriage. Still too young. We have 3 boys, Tom, Rick, and Matt. 8 grandsons, 3 great-grandsons, and 1 beautiful granddaughter who's spoiled to death. But it's fun. When I was young, I was raised in a Catholic family, and this does have a little sense to it, but went to St. John's School, all nuns, every one of them. I was in the old school, as I said one time a few weeks ago, we had inkwells, we didn't have ballpoint pens until our 5th grade. So all those poor left-handed kids had nothing but ink all over their left hands. But raised that way, going to church every morning before school, and faithfully doing all these things with 3 priests in the rectory. As I approached, I think it was 3rd, maybe even 4th grade, it came time to learn about confession. And there's a routine that you go through, and when you're in the 4th grade, you're nervous as hell. And you're not sure what's going to happen, because you've never done this before. And I kind of compare the confession part to these steps, because it does kind of work that way. 4th and 5th step, we're digging in those nastiness, and now we're trying to get rid of it. So I had a thought about that. What the hell was it? Anyhow, this is where it gets tough. Because in the 6th step, it kind of just flows over the 4th and 5th, as I see it. In the 4th, we sit down and take this incredible inventory of ourselves. And it takes a long time to do. If you work on those darn papers I gave you last week, you're ready to throw them out by now, I'm sure. Because it's tough. It's something you need to really face and face head on. The next part of that is sharing that with another individual, whether it's your God or your sponsor, preferably your sponsor, or a priest, whatever. Boy, oh boy, I made these notes and they didn't come out of the way I wanted them to. Actually, the note I made on the 6th step was, it relies on your attitude. Knowing what we revealed in step 4, 5, and 6, begin to come willing, or number seven. That willingness plays a big part in my sobriety. Keep going blanks, guys. The note I made was, as we discover these quirks, we became able to respond to the world in a new and different way. That took me a while to figure out what was going to be new and what was going to be different. When I was new and young, I looked at those fourth and fifth step and they overwhelmed me. That didn't seem like something I could do. And then on the fifth and sixth, I got a little confused because they asked God to remove and then to, what do we do here? Have God remove all these character defects and take care of our shortcomings. Well, those two sounded so much alike to me. And my little brain doesn't function very, very well, especially at my age. I was thinking, when I put all this stuff together, I went to Gannon for a while, and when I went down there, they gave me tests or whatever it was. This was years ago too, guys. But they analyzed the test. And afterwards, I went into a counselor and spoke to the counselor. And the counselor looked at me real quick and said, "You're going to have some trouble. I can't remember from here to there. And this has been nothing but a problem all my life. And now when I'm 80, it's really a problem." So I thought of that as I was trying to put all this together, because the fifth and sixth step isn't something I'm actively doing. I'm trying to pull some words out that need help. I don't know why I did that, but the note I made was, we began to sort out the difference between doing wrong and being wrong. And again, as slow as I am, those things took a lot of time. I feel honestly that I took a lot of the fourth and fifth steps with my sponsor on the telephone. Now, there was an official fifth step, but when I come in, the intention and the purpose was to talk to him every day. And my life was in such a disarray that I did that. Sometimes I was a little crude, I think, because my wife and I were having some issues, and I was talking as loud as I could so she'd hear. It was stupid, but that's what I did. Bob helped me in so many ways, and in his helping me and in our discussions, we picked out the little things that really were nothing in the long run, but they were things that were bothering me all along. The big stuff came along in the fifth step, but the little stuff seemed to be whittled away at as we drove to Edinburgh or Ashtabula or Dunkirk, wherever we went for a meeting. In those days, which a long time ago, that was the way you did things. If you brought somebody into the program, you stood up and said, "I want to introduce Tom Hoffman to this program." And then I crawled under the seat. But that's the way it went. Also, they tried very hard to get you going in a ride, really. They wanted to take you for a ride to another meeting somewhere, or a lot of them like to call it eat meetings, because you bought a dish, and most of those were out in the country. But they like to go over different facets of the program. So each ride, each telephone conversation became a kind of a revelation to me, because it's stuff I didn't know about myself. And here I was yakking to somebody that's a stranger. But I had built up enough trust in him with our phone calls to handle it. I picked up another sponsor, and we had even more conversation. But the fifth step did get me going for the sixth. If I can find the damn thing. Yeah. Entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And all we're doing, as I see it, is asking him to remove it, remove those defects. Not our shortcomings. So I guess that's where the difference is. And when you're a little slow like I am sometimes, the difference between removing my defects and humbly asking him to remove my shortcomings kind of clicks. But with doing the fourth and fifth step, this project of the sixth and seventh is really kind of easy. If you've been sincere, my God, I'm getting dry, in your fourth and fifth step. That's why I emphasize how important it is earlier to look at those... Thank you. My God, I'm nervous as a little old lady. Anyhow, by getting into the fourth and fifth step as heavily as you can, you'll be very relieved when you hit the sixth and seventh. They'll flow. They'll understand them because of what you've done and what you've given to your sponsor or your God or your mother or your wife or whatever. Another thing they stressed was, in the sixth step, we found out we ourselves were not really able to change ourselves. We needed something extra. And they interpreted, or we interpreted, as saying, I need God. I need a power greater than myself to take care of some of these issues. There is some stuff that I still don't think I've shared with my sponsor. It's stuff that I just have a real hard time with. And to share it, I'm just not ready. Wasn't ready. And still am not. So I can share that in the confessional. That I can do. Because he doesn't see me and I don't see him, I guess. I don't know. But I have evidently buried a lot over the years and just stayed sober in spite of myself. And God's given me enough people around me to keep me going. Without those people, I don't know what I'd do. I traveled for a while and went around the country and see, there I go into a lead again. Anyhow, I learned a lot about the association with the fellowship with my travels. They're telling me that humility is the secret to step seven. And to humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings is kind of a trick. Because you can't do it with any amount of ego or anything like that. You've got to sit back, relax, and say, wait, this is what I did. Take it away from me, please. But in the meantime, what you've done is learn everything you can about yourself through 4, 5, and 6. So you're ready to give that away and to get it out of your system. And it seems to me that as I progressed in the fellowship, those daily talks with my sponsor and talks with people at our meetings, I seem to have whittled my issues down to some very sincere and very hard facts. I picked the little ones out when I was talking to Bob and got rid of them. The important thing to me was to be able to get rid of something that bothered me like that. And again, most of those things talking with Bob were little things. When you got into the meat of the matter, I needed pencil and paper and the right words to get him to understand. Now, Bob was my age now, but I was 30-something. So the difference in age was dramatic, I felt. And some of his answers were a little off the wall, again, I thought. But when I latched onto this other guy, Jack, he was closer to my age. He worked with my mother-in-law. She put him on me, but got a nice relationship with him and my program. He and a bunch of fellows in the association owned a bunch of boats. Everybody had. There was 5 or 6 of them that had nice boats. And we would go out to Beach 11. We did it a couple times. And Gene Acri would pull up some steaks out of his butcher shop, and maybe 12, 15 of us, we'd bring macaroni and all that stuff. But we'd have a great AA meeting and a great fellowship gathering, if you want to call it that, on Beach 11. And it was 99% AA talk. It wasn't anything that we felt silly about. Then we'd spend the night on the boats. I spent the night with Jack and one other guy, I think, on his boat, and a couple of the other guys stayed around. But we continued that on the boat. So that relaxed atmosphere helped me to let go of some things. And Jack and I many times had the privacy to be able to let me share with him what I've gone through. And as strange as it seemed, his sharing and my sharing kind of ran parallel. So it was easy to have a nice conversation and develop some friendship and then get some of this stuff out of the way that I wanted gone. Some of these heavy thoughts. Some of them still come back, but I work hard at that. I work hard at being kind around the house. I'm going to strangle my wife one of these nights if she doesn't quit nagging me about my bills. Because she checks everything. I wear a belt for my hernia. I wear a dinger for my, if I fall, and my hearing aids. And I take 18 pills a day. And so she's after me all the time. And God love her, it's just because she cared. She spent 18 months with me on a very sick man. I went into the hospital in November of 19 at 246 pounds, and now I weigh 159. So it just dwindled right down, and then a lot of physical stuff. So I've got to sit back and say, dear Lord, take this nastiness away from me and let me help her. Let me soothe her mind and give her some peace. Boy, how my mind goes. I wanted to get to the seventh step prayer. Where the hell is that now? Anyhow, I did some one great statement about the seventh step prayer, but for those of you that don't know, that's on page 76 in the big book. I didn't know that for years, but it came about in somebody's lead, and then I started hunting for it, and I couldn't find the darn thing, because it just kind of sweeps in into the page 76. But it's a great little tool for us, and it evidently they portray it as it preparing us to be an instrument of our higher power. They suggest that you take it maybe with yourself, say it yourself in your bedroom or at the desk. Share it with your sponsor. I'd prefer to sit out at the beach and have the sun beating on me and go through it and put some sincere thought into the darn thing. I've often said, it's been a while ago, that the big book is almost like a good dirty book. You can open that damn thing on any page and find something that will enlighten you into your disease or my disease. I swear to God it is. It's, at least to me, it's kind of the way sometimes the big book works for me. When I first come in, the only way I could calm myself down and forgive myself was with the 24-hour book. That was my prayer book in the morning and in the evening. But it always had some good direction for me early in the morning. That lasted for ages. The fourth and fifth step seemed to meander in and out of my life quite a bit. When I first came in, I was very sincere on what I got out on the fourth step, or what I got accumulated, whatever you want to say. And I was very headset, I guess, to get rid of it with Jack. But I would do that, and a few weeks later there'd be another little thing come down my pike, and I'd have to deal with that. But fortunately for me, the program has begun to work, and I was able to eliminate that stuff. Well, that was interesting too. In the book, they were talking about after taking the fourth, fifth, and sixth step. They claim it was our first real evaluation of ourselves. And as they put that in the book, it made sense to me. It was the very first time I really had a hard look at Tom Hoffman and saw what he was, how he was, how he handled his kids, how he handled his wife. And there were pictures in there I didn't want to have to see again. But nonetheless, as I proceeded in the program, I was taught to be honest, face it all your cards face up. I did that, and somehow I ended up with 47 years of sobriety. Just because it was, I don't know whether I was a scared Catholic kid or just working the program real well, but it was kind of our first revelation of what's going on. It mentions a little bit of what I'm talking about is a little booklet that comes from, I got it at the club on the fourth step. They've got booklets on each one of the steps, and I went through that thing inside and out, wore the damn pages up, because this is really frustrating me. But, the hell was I thinking? In order to ask God to remove our shortcoming, we need to know and be convinced that we can't do it ourselves. And again, that comes through 4, 5, and 6. Learning about ourselves, learning what we can do and we can't do, and being told by a sponsor what the best set of directions you can follow or should follow. But the book also said a couple of things, and I'll read them to you. I hate to do that, but I have to. It said we found strength in our weaknesses. We gave up control of our drinking and gained control. When we turned our lives over to our God, as we understood Him, we regained our lives. And energy we once spent defending ourselves against other people, we now spend listening, praying, and experiencing. That was an approach I didn't understand before. I see it now, but I guess it's why after all this time you still run into revelations that you never thought of. I'm sure when we get on to step 10 and I start digging through what I'm frustrated with, we'll get some more of that. But for now, the dilemma of the 6 and 7 step is becoming a little clearer to me. I do want to be rid of the issues that bug me, and I want to be forgiven, and hopefully go down the street the next day and have a smile on my face. One of the reasons I brought up confession. Now remember, I'm in third grade, fourth grade. I'm a little tyke, skinny as a runt. But it was important to me. The nuns taught us this routine. You went in there and you knelt down and you talked to the priest. And there was nothing to it, really. He said, your penance is two Hail Marys and Our Father. So you went out in the church and you did that. But what I remembered so distinctly at that period in my life, how good I felt. I can't believe, and I can't reconstruct that feeling. I really can't. But I was a kid, and I bet every time I went to confession for 2 years, maybe three, I went, did my penance, and just had a breath of fresh air in me that I still can't define. But that's how my faith worked in me, and I keep expecting some of that from the program. Don't think I'm going to get that euphoria that I've had, but there is a relieving thing to this fourth and step, fifth step, fourth and fifth, fifth, sixth and seventh step. It does lift some of the fog for me, and what the hell was I going through my mind? Anyhow, it does get me back on track and see where I'm right and wrong and all those things. So I try real hard to step back and control my temper, especially with my wife. I can't believe it. Of course, I'm retired now for 20 years, so we're on each other's tail too much. Although she's still working. God love her. But I really have a shortness in my temper that I pray for. I get up in the morning and I have a book from Padre Pio, and I told you all this. They said it's an efficacious novena. And I do. Every morning sit there, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm reading my little book and saying, please God, give me a good day. And let me be effective. So it my faith works so well with all of these steps. Kind of anxious to see what happens beyond. They explain it as these first 7 steps are faith built, and you're digging into your faith in yourself. And from the 8th on, you're creating activity, you're being active in the program, and doing what the good Lord wanted you to do in the first place. So I'm kind of anxious to tackle that. This one I wasn't anxious to tackle, but this scenario has really given me a kick in the ass, because it has shown me so much of myself that I guess I didn't realize. And that's after 47 years. You'd think I'd know everything. I'd be this God from above. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't. I guess that's why I put so much time and effort into trying to get something that makes sense here when I'm up here. I know when I was 1, 2, 3 years old, I looked at somebody, and I can name names, but I ain't gonna use it, no them anyhow. But I looked at that guy and I said, geez, he should be a saint, because he should know everything. And he doesn't. He just knew what I knew, day at a time. Trust God, all those things. And at my age now, I look back and think of that. I think, well, there's somebody out here in this audience or another audience that doesn't know me from a pile of hay, know what I've gone through in my life, and they give me my attention, the attention I need, and the respect. So I try to be on the spot with this stuff. As you can see, I dwindle off into some damn lead that I shouldn't be doing. I need to stay focused. As confusing as this all seems, I think I'm done. Because I'm real disappointed in myself that I wasn't able to grasp things well enough to just stand here and talk to you about some of the particular things in that that little book that were helpful. I do read those things. And I'm thinking now of that little acceptance book that came out. And all of those things that the fellowship has given me, they come and go with me. I hate to say that, but they do. My mind just doesn't settle it. But I want to thank you all for listening. You have 4 more weeks, I think, of this sin, so be prepared. Get a cushion. I'll just keep it slow. Thanks so very much, folks.
Thanks, Tom. All right, so now we've got time for some questions and answers. So if you're on Zoom and you have a question, just feel free to unmute yourself and speak up. If you're here in the room, raise your hand and I'll get the microphone over to you. So who wants to start us off? Okay.
Jim, alcoholic.
Hi, Jim.
Thanks, Tom. So with character defects, were there any particular character defects, I mean, not for you to get specific, that you had a hard time letting go of?
I would say that the most difficult hill for me to climb, and I think a lot of others, was the issue of sex. It just seemed to flow that something would pop up every now and then. I'd get clear of one item and one circumstance, and then there'd be another circumstance that popped up. But otherwise, as I said, it seemed to get progressively better as I went through the steps. You know, I got to the end of this thing, or step seven, and by then I had ironed out all the wrinkles, and now I'm down to the big stuff. And that takes a long time for me to get rid of. Probably some of it I still have. I just haven't thought about it yet. But most all of it I got rid of in 4, 5, and 6. 7, I did get rid of some of it, but I didn't make a conscious effort. That's the difference, I guess, to say that I'm handling the sixth step, seventh step. It happened. And I guess I've got that kind of an attitude that says, live and let live. And when I have an issue, I look at it, and I told you a while ago, Bev and I used to call constantly, be on the phone. And we'd get in trouble with each other, or we'd find an issue, and one of us would say, hey, let's stop a minute, let's talk about something else, you put it on the shelf, and if it comes back tomorrow, we'll do something with it. If it doesn't come back, it's gone. And that's almost what happens to me. I can chew on a problem forever. But I find at night and in the morning, if I trust my God and give it to Him, the next day it has either evaporated or become so minimal that it's not worth discussing. I hope that answers. It feels like I skated around the room here. But
Who else has a question for Tom?
For no question.
Yeah. Oh well, Kevin's got a question.
Always has a question.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for your talk tonight on 6 and 7. I also had trouble distinguishing between shortcomings and character defects. How did you sort those two out for yourself?
Wow. There's a definite difference. And I guess shortcomings would be something that I handled mentally and within me. Character defects were something that I think now that they affected others. Those are the things that I get tough on myself with. I don't want to hurt my son. I don't want to hurt my daughter-in-law, my wife. Yet, to me, that's a character defect that does flow through my system. And right or wrong, that's kind of the way I handle the difference between the two. I can't think of anything specific, but my life has been that way, to do as quickly as I can, ask for forgiveness, whether it's my wife or children, and then carry on with whatever I need to do to accomplish it. But the program has made me do that. The whole overall program, not just step six and seven. And I guess that's where I'm thinking is that from 1 through 12 has a little part in my body and in my mind, and it's working constantly, I think. I'm unaware of it, again, I think. But it's there, and I know it's there. And the minute I need it, I can fall back on it, and it's there for me. After all this time, I know what they are, and I know those issues, I know how to handle them. But all I can do is wish you guys the best of luck if you got into this thing. Remember what he's doing to you. That is satisfy you, Kevin?
I'm never satisfied. I'm an alcoholic. Anyway, thank you very much for that. A follow-up to that is, when you were working with your sponsor, and you said you talked to him most every day, so I'm pretty sure that you would come up with the grudge of the day, let's say. How did he kind of guide you to a softer approach or to deal with a shortcoming or character defect?
Well, those things at that point was the beginning of my sobriety. I was trying to be as nasty as I could to my wife and hoping the hell she heard it. And poor Bob was dumbstruck because he didn't have a woman. He told me about Florence, his girlfriend, 70-some years old, 80-some years old, he had his girlfriend with him. But so if you want to call it advice, it was more in the vein of calm down, okay, in the morning. But there was no specific reference to the program and how you would solve the issue. But it was a daily talk, and a lot of it was very fruitful, but a lot of it was nastiness too. But it was getting out of my system.
Right.
It's doing what the program wanted me to do. I didn't know that. I wasn't smart enough. But that's what was happening, is getting that garbage and hatefulness out of my system and working with it to improve myself and improve my family. We did have a period of time where we had to be apart for a little bit, but it taught me an awful lot. I dug into this program like hell bent for election. I knew it was my salvation. I spent hours at the club. I really endorse that place. It's a haven for a lot of things, a lot of people, and I've seen over the years many, many changes in the place. But I used it back then when my wife and I were having issues to calm me down and solve my problems and solve my issues. And in the meantime, there was always Jim Clark or Gene Avery or one of the old guys sitting back in the corner waiting for me to say, hey. And they did. But they were all wonderful, and they had the words I needed to get me on moving. Thank you, folks. We got a long way to go yet.
Thank you, Tom.